the Torah scroll because of its holiness, but also for practical reason to preserve the scroll from, you know, body greases or whatever. So that's why the yad is used. So that's very, very, it kind of like showing respect and honor to the Torah.
Absolutely. We want this Torah to last for generations to come, and we use it on a weekly basis for generations to come. And one of the ways we do that is we don't touch it with our oily fingers. Absolutely.
Yep. So as we get ready to call Megan up, we have, there's a saying at the end, once I finish canting the call for her to come up and read. It's a kavod, and it means, you know, weighty, or to give weight to. It's this is a responsibility. It's not a frivolous thing. It's something that she has practiced for and trained for and dedicated much time and energy and prayer and spiritual practice to. And so it is a weighty thing for her to do, to carry this burden. However, this burden is easy and light because of Yeshua. So, without further ado, Ya'amod Simcha bat Avraham la Torah.
Kavod!
Kavod!
Oh, snuck up on me. She stuck around me there. Can you say to open the blessing?
Baruch atah. Wait.
Baruch Adonai Hamvarach Leolam Vayed.
I'm on page 66 of the Siddur, by the way, from this one.
Baruch atah Hamvarach Leolam Vayed. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam Asher Bakar Banu Makol Ha'amid
Vinatan
Lanu
Torato
Baruch
Atah Adonai Notain HaTorah.
Amen.
Blessed are you, O Lord our God. Blessed Lord, the Blessed One.
Blessed
is the Lord, the Blessed One for all eternity.
Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has chosen us from all people and given us the Torah. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, giver of the Torah.
Amen.
Amen.
Lakain imor heni notain lo et berit shalom vihita lo olzar iharev berit kehunat olam vish tahat asher kine lelohai Vikaper Burit
Albane
Israel Vashem Ish Israel Hamuke Burit Asher Huka Lo Et Yamit Zimri Ben Sa'u Nasi Lashemuni. Bait off. Lashemuni.
Can someone read? We're in Numbers chapter 25, verse 12 through 15, I believe it is. Numbers 25, 12 through 15, if anybody has that available. We'll read the English translation of it. If you get there, just turn, just read it out loud. Numbers 25, verse 12, I believe.
Therefore say, I am giving him my covenant of Shalom.
Just verse 12 or more?
Read to verse 15. Thank you.
Little sound.
Can you turn the blue sliders up? Make sure they're up over there. They are? Let me switch it. I think it wants to play through the projector. Stacy, why don't you come up and do yours while I get this one fixed up here. Stacy's going to do her speech here, and then while I work on the technical side, so don't get distracted by that. That's how things go. You get everything figured out, and then the minute of, it doesn't work out.
It's okay. I love being up front. I've been waiting for this for weeks. So the sooner the better. So I will tell you ahead of time that my personal goal for today is not to ugly cry, but normal crying is, that's inevitable. So actually, if everyone's okay with one more delay, I'm gonna grab a tissue. What's the plan? Are you sure you don't want to?
Okay, we'll do this. I'll buy you some time.
I'm good. Good either way.
Me find ways to enjoy learning his Torah. My goal is to help people of all ages learn to love his word. Here are three helpful tips. Number one, you can read the Torah portion. You can read it with a friend or a sibling or even your parents. Or you can listen to an audio Bible. Number two, ask lots and lots of questions. Ask your parents, ask your friends, ask your elders of your congregation, and ask God, because he wrote the Bible, so he knows exactly what's in it, and he would love to help you. Three, let the word of God come alive in you. It says in John that Yeshua was Torah made flesh, so you should let the word be alive in you too. You should feel the emotions of the verses you're reading, like happy or sad or disappointed or afraid. Let it be alive inside of you. Come on, let's enjoy God's word together. Today we're going to learn about judgments versus rewards and lessons.
Israel stayed at Shittim, and there the people began whoring with the women of Moab. These women invited the people to the sacrifices of their gods, where the people ate and bowed down to their gods. With Israel thus joined at Baal Peor, the anger of Adonai blazed up against Israel. Just then, in the sight of Moshe and the whole community of Israel, as they were weeping at the entrance of the tent of meeting, a man from Israel came by, bringing to his family a woman from Midian. Thus Pinchas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the Cohen, saw it. He got up from the middle of the crowd, took a spear in his hand, and pursued the man from Israel, right into the inner part of the tent, where he thrust his spear through both of them, the man from Israel and the woman through her stomach. Thus was the plague among the people of Israel stopped. Nevertheless, 24,000 died in the plague.
What was Israel's sin? Their sin was breaking their marriage vows with Jehovah. How did they break their marriage vows with Jehovah? Israel ate and bowed down their mighty ones. Whose mighty ones and what did they eat? Was Israel probably eating unkosher foods? Yeah, like pigs or maybe things that have been sacrificed to other gods or, Another way that Israel sinned was celebrating feasts and festivals and holy days of other gods. Who was participating in the sin of adultery? Takes two to tango. Israel and Midian committed the sin, but were Israel and Moab judged equally?
And pursued the man from Israel right into the inner part of the tent, where he thrust his spear through both of them, the man from Israel and the woman through her stomach. Thus was the plague among the people of Israel stopped. Nevertheless, 24,000 died in the plague.
24,000 Israelites were killed by only one Moabite. It's up to that. But we know our God is just and fair. God's judgment would come later in Numbers 31.
Adonai said to Moshe, on behalf of the people of Israel, take vengeance on the Midianites. After that, you will be gathered to your people. Moshe said to the people, equip men from among yourselves for war. They are to go and fight Midian in order to carry out Adonai's vengeance on Midian. You are to send to the war 1,000 men from every one of Israel's tribes. So out of the thousands of people in Israel, 1,000 armed men from each tribe, 12,000 altogether were mustered for war. Moshe sent them, 1,000 from each tribe, to the war. He sent them and Pinchas, the son of Eleazar, the Cohen, to the war, with the holy utensils and the trumpets for sounding the alarm in his care. They fought against Midian as Adonai had ordered Moses and killed every male. They killed the kings of Midian along with the others who were slain. They also killed Balaam, the son of Beor, with the sword. The people of Israel took captive the women of Midian and their little ones, and they took as booty all their cattle, flocks, and other goods. They set fire to all their cities in the areas where they lived and all their camps. They took all the booty, all the people, and animals they had captured, and brought the captives' booty and spoil to Moses, Eleazar the Cohen, and the community of Israel in the camp on the plains of Moab by the Jordan across from Jericho.
Judgment is complete, being poured out on all Israel and Midian. After the plague became blessings for those who obeyed and followed Yah.
Adonai said to Moses, Pinchas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the Cohen, has deflected my anger from the people of Israel by being as zealous as I am, so that I didn't destroy them in my own zeal. Therefore say, I am giving him my covenant of shalom, making a covenant with him and his descendants after him, that the office of Cohen will be theirs forever. This is because he was zealous on behalf of his God and made atonement for the people of Israel. The name of the man from Israel who was killed, put to death with the woman from Midian, was Zimri, the son of Salu, leader of one of the clans from the tribe of Simeon. The name of the woman from Midian who was killed was Cozbi, the daughter of Zur, and he was the head of the people in one of the clans of Midian. Adonai said to Moses, treat the Midianim as enemies and attack them, because they are treating you as enemies by the trickery they used to deceive you in the Poar incident and in the affair of their sister Cozbi, the daughter of the leader from Midian, the woman who was killed on the day of the plague in the Poar incident.
In Numbers Numbers chapter 26, we see a census taking, division and rewarding of land.
God is giving each of the tribes specific information about the land he is blessing them with.
Verse 26:9-11. Notice again that judgment comes to those who oppose God.
And the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up together with Korah. When that group died, the fire consumed 250 men, and they became a warning sign. However, the sons of Korah did not die.
Blessings come to those who obey God. Verse 27:1-11 shows us that God cares about women's rights.
Then the daughters of Zelophehad, the son of Hepher, the son of Gilead, the son of Machir, the son of Manasseh, of the families of Manasseh, the son of Yosef, approached. These were the names of his daughters: Machla, Noah, Hagla, Milcah, and Tirzah. They stood in front of Moshe, Eleazar, the Kohen, the leaders, and the whole community at the entrance to the tent of meeting, and said, "Our father died in the desert. He wasn't part of the group who assembled themselves to rebel against Adonai in Korah's group, but he died in his own sin, and he had no sons. Why should the name of our father be eliminated from his family just because he didn't have a son? Give us property to possess along with the brothers of our father." Moses brought their cause before Adonai. Adonai answered Moses, "The daughters of Zelophehad are right in what they say. You must give them property to be inherited along with that of their father's brothers. Have what their father would have inherited passed to them. Moreover, say to the people of Israel, if a man dies and does not have a son, you are to have his inheritance passed to his daughter. If he does not have a daughter, give his inheritance to his brothers. If he has no brothers, give his inheritance to his father's brothers. If his father doesn't have any brothers, give his inheritance to the closest relative in his family, and he will possess it. It will be the standard for judgment to be used by the people of Israel, as Adonai ordered Moses."
God is so fair with his judgments and blessings, it even applied to Moses.
Adonai said to Moses, "Climb this mountain in the Abarim range and look out at the land which I have given the people of Israel. After you have seen it, you too will be gathered to your people, just as Aaron your brother was gathered. Because in the Zin desert, when the community was disputing with me, you rebelled against my order to uphold my holiness by means of the water, with them looking on." Moses said to Adonai, "Let Adonai, God of the spirits of all human beings, appoint a man to be over the community, to go out and come in ahead of them, to lead them out and bring them in, so that Adonai's community will not be like the sheep without a shepherd." Adonai said to Moses, "Take Joshua, the son of Nun, a spiritual man, and lay your hand on him. Put him in front of Eleazar, the Kohen, and the whole community, and commission him in their sight. Delegate to him some of your authority, so that the entire community of Israel will obey him. He is to present himself to Eleazar, the Kohen, who is to find out by means of the Urim what Adonai's will is for Joshua's decisions. Then at his word, they will go out, and at his word, they will come in, both he and all the people of Israel with him and the whole community." Moses did as Adonai had ordered him. He took Joshua, put him before Eleazar, the Kohen, and the whole community, laid his hands on him, and commissioned him as Adonai had said through Moses.
Moses suffers judgment while Joshua receives blessing.
Moses didn't get to go into the promised land because he rebelled. But Joshua got to lead the Israelites into the promised land because he trusted God.
After judgment and blessing comes restoration. Teaches them how, why, and when to worship. He teaches them again about sacrifices and appointed times. Numbers 31. Moses spoke to the head of the tribes concerning the people of Israel, saying, "This is the word that Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh has commanded." follow his word. I'm Megan Gates. You can find me on YouTube. Shabbat Shalom.
As you can tell, Micah will be looking for future ones. He was really vocally a little bit loud and into it, which I know, I believe Megan is going to be making those in the future for other kids for the Torah portion. So, got your fans over there. So, okay. I met the Yates girls in 2015, and like, most people who meet this family, I marveled at this beautiful stair-stepped in age sisters, but I kind of got lost in all the long brown hair and M names, and so it wasn't until 2 years ago that I really got to know them individually. It was about this time of year and that they first came to DMF, and I remember because I had been teaching the kids class, and it had been just five kids, all boys, and three of them my own. And so our classes were loud. Yeah, Mary's nodding, she knows. Loud and energetic. And I was completely in my comfort zone because that's my life at home, and that's what we did in there. And so when Megan, Mercy, and Mariah showed up, and they came in and they sat down quietly, looking at me, ready to learn and listen. I was like, I don't know what to do. I was completely thrown that day. And I don't know if they noticed or remember how awkward I was, but I remember that it was like such a blessing to have people ready to learn, but it was so different. And so, in the weeks and months that followed that, I got to know their names, and I got to know the names of their pets, and the color of their toothbrushes, and I got to know the different beautiful personalities that God had given each of them. And so, let me tell you some of what I have come to know about Megan. Megan Joy Yates was born on July 5th, 2007 at around 9 a.m. Her middle name, Joy, was one of the first things that her family noticed about her and has continued to define her as she has grown. Joy isn't situational like happiness. It's a permanent possession while happiness is fleeting. Joy remains even amidst the suffering. It stays when happiness comes and goes. This trait will be invaluable during the trials of life. Her first name, Megan, is Welsh in origin and is a shortened form of Margaret, which is from the Greek Margarites for pearl. We all know how pearls are formed, and it seems to me that there is a common theme in these names. A pearl forms around an irritant, and joy remains in spite of life's irritants. Something that Gabe pointed out is how the name Megan sounds like the Hebrew word Mogen or Magen, which means shield. And you won't find that in a baby book or in an internet search. It's simply an observation. But I do see in you a protector and a defender of little ones. I'm guessing that she has always loved babies and has been a natural with children. And many of us have witnessed this gift in a world that grows colder and more selfish by the day. Megan will shadow the most vulnerable among us and guide them and help them, acting as that shield. In my time with her, Megan has shown herself to be helpful, thoughtful, careful, tidy, rule-abiding, self-controlled, patient, Micah especially, kind, hardworking, often serving others. A few months ago during worship practice, I was cleaning and reorganizing the kids' room, and Megan left her friends playing, running around in the gym, and just showed up completely unasked and started helping me and lightening my load. And that's just the kind of thing that she does on a regular basis that often goes unnoticed. And you know, she doesn't ask for anything in return, it's just what she does. Today, she has chosen to publicly declare her desire to obey God's commandments. And many of us in this room have done that in some form in our lives, and so we know the weight of that decision and what lies before her. As I said before, our world is growing colder and more selfish, and so any bar or bat mitzvah or any mikvah that you have the opportunity to witness is a small miracle, and it's a selfish human submitting themselves to their creator and dying to self. Megan, your faith journey is now your own. You have many people to encourage and advise you and help you, but your walk is with your creator, your savior, and the spirit who will guide you. I don't need to load you down with advice because you have the ultimate source of wisdom in God's word. And so I will only give you two words of guidance in hopes that less is more. And this is what I also have to keep in mind when I give Gabe a shopping list, is it's three or less. First, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life, Proverbs 4:23. I feel that this is important, not only in regards to romantic relationships, but also in friendships and the people you surround yourself with. So many of us here who are grown can look back and see the ways in which relationships influenced us, and we weren't even aware. When Jesus is equipping his disciples in Matthew 10, he tells them, "I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore be as shrewd or as wise as snakes and as innocent as doves. I see this in you already. Continue being the girl who makes friends wherever she goes, but be aware of who you allow to speak into your life." My final advice to you would be to pray for not only God's will in your life, but for the heart and the courage to walk in it. Someone recently told me that she was working on letting go of her own dreams for her life and accepting God's plans for her. Your generation will not understand this, and they will likely mock you for it. Remember that if he opens a door and you know that it's him, you confirm it in the word. Whether that is to witness to someone, to listen, or to serve, that we should answer, "Hineni, here am I," and not try to tell God that he's got the wrong guy. During World War II, a 50-year-old single woman had a brick wall built through her bedroom to create a hiding place for Jews and other and other fugitives from the Nazis who had occupied her country. Corrie ten Boom would live to write of her experiences and is honored as one of the righteous among the nations. Her words and wisdom are timeless. She writes, "Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God." She also writes, "I know that the experiences of our lives, when we let God use them, become the mysterious and perfect preparation for the work he will give us to do." Megan, thank you for allowing me to speak today. It has been one of the highest honors of my life. And when your mom first texted me, I had to stop myself and not try and convince her that you had the wrong guy. So everything that I've said to you is stuff that I'm teaching myself or I wish I could say to my past self. And I will close with the words of our Messiah in Matthew 28. "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, even to the very end of the age." Thank you.
Hey Megan, I'm sorry I can't be there on your special date, but I'm gonna go ahead and read you something, okay? Megan Jordan.
Megan, I want to start by saying how much I love you and that I'm very proud of all your accomplishments. You are an amazing sister and friend, and even though I'm your big sister, I still look up to you. Today, I want to encourage and remind you of a few things. First, I want to encourage you to always be brave. Deuteronomy 31:6 says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not fear nor be afraid of them, for it is Yahweh your Elohim who is going with you. He does not fail you nor forsake you. Whatever you are going through, remember God is always on your side and there's nothing to worry about. I want you to be a leader. This is already one of your many great qualities. I wanted to remind you that there are many types of leaders, but it's important to be a godly leader. Philippians 2:3, do nothing from selfishness or self-conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourself. Lastly, I want you to always be joyful. This should be easy because it's your name. Psalms 126:2-3, then our mouths shall be filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then shall they say among the nations, Yahweh has done great deeds for them. Yahweh shall do great deeds for us. We shall be glad. Please continue to always make us laugh and feel silly. Meg, always remember to be brave, a good leader, and joyful. Whether it's on your first day of college, your wedding day, the day you become a mom, cling to your faith and know you're beautiful and lots of people love you. I love you."
Since I'm naturally like a meanie, I should be able to to read it with no tears. So I'm going to read you for again. Dear Megan, I want you to know that I think you are a remarkable young lady, aptly named Megan Joy, because that is what you are. You're a joy to all of us and all that is in your sphere. It has broken my heart to watch you struggle with a real reading disability, but to see you overcome has brought me so much joy. Your smile is infectious, and I love your willingness to help anytime it is needed, which is the absolute and total truth. She is the most helpful, giving child. I'm excited to see where you go on your journey called life. It is a great adventure to see where y'all will lead you, and I'm so honored to be a part of it. I love you very much, and remember, start out the way you want to end up. Don't pretend. And Gamma said, never lie. Aww.
We're going to do what's called the Hagba now, where we lift up the scroll. And we invite the family to come up and assist with this, because it's the family's job to assist her in upholding the terms of the covenant, to uphold the commandments. And this is a heavy scroll, so they're gonna spot her a little bit as well. And no pressure. If it hits the ground, everyone in the room has to fast 40 days.
Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Malka Ha'olam Asher Netan Lanu Torah Amin Vikaye Olam Ta Bitokenu Baruch Atah Adonai
Notain HaTorah. Amen.
Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has given us the Torah of truth and placed everlasting life in our midst. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, keeper of the Torah.
Amen.
So as they lift up the scroll, we will point our pinkies towards the scroll, because it is the least accusatory finger that we have. Point and say, this is the word of the Lord. And this is what she has read from today.
Vizot HaTorah Asher Sam Moshe Lifnei Bnei Yisrael Al Pi Adonai B'Yad Moshe And this is the Torah that Moses placed before the children of Israel at the command of the Lord through Moses' hand.
You guys can turn around. Whichever way. As long as you do it the same way, it doesn't matter. Good job. And as the worship team comes up and we get ready to celebrate and play some music and sing, we're also going to go to the page 64, the Vayehi ben So Ha'aron, when the ark would travel.
When the ark would travel, Moses would say, "Arise, O Lord, and let your enemies be scattered. Let them that hate you flee from you. For from Zion will go forth the Torah and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Blessed be he who in his holiness gave the Torah to his people Israel." Vayehi ben So Ha'aron, vayomer Moshe, Kuma Adonai, ויפרוצו אוהביך, וינוסו מזנך, מפניך. כי מציון תצא תורה, כי מציון תצא תורה, ודבר אדוני מירושלים. ברוך שנתן Torah, Torah, Baruch Shenatan, Torah, Torah, Le'amo Yisrael, B'kdushato. Thank you. Page 74, the Eitz Chaim. Eitz Chaim, le machazim ba, ve'tomei.
Noam v'chol netivoteha shalom. Ashivenu Adonai elecha v'nashuva. Kadesh, kadesh yamenu, kadesh yamenu kekedem.
It is a tree of life to those who take hold of it, and those who support it are praiseworthy. Its ways are ways of pleasantness, and all its paths are peace. Bring us back, Lord, to you, and we shall come. Renew our days as of old. Amen.
And continue singing and celebrating. Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. The law will go forth from Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And we will walk in his footsteps, and he will teach us his ways. Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob.
Ruach HaKodesh, we invite the Holy Spirit to be in our midst. We want Him to rule in our lives. We want Him to teach us.
Thank you.
Avinu Machinu, our Father, we are so thankful for your Shabbat today. We call it a delight. Thank you for this time, this 24-hour block of time where we can just rest, relax, refresh ourselves in your presence, knowing that you are King, you are sovereign, you are perfect, and you are just. And in this place right now, Father, we declare you as King over Dothan Messianic Fellowship. And we declare you as King and sovereign over our families and our marriages. We declare you as King over Dothan, Alabama, and over the state of Alabama. We declare you as King over our nation. Father, we just lift up our nation right now. Pour out your Spirit upon us. Pour out your Spirit upon this, your people, that we may repent and turn from our ways, and you would heal our land. Heal us, our Father, and we will be healed. Father, we just lift up those who could not be with us today. Minister to them and bless them with physical strength and speedy recovery. By the stripes of the Lamb who suffered and died on our behalf, they might be made whole. We thank you for this window into your kingdom that we could share today. And as we get ready to break bread, Father, help us to do it. Full recognition and remembrance of Yeshua, our Messiah, who was broken for us. Despite his righteousness, his perfection, he took our sin upon himself and bore our transgressions on a tree so that we could be reconciled to you. Help us to live lives that are worthy of his dying for. In his mighty and precious name, we all say.
Amen. Okay, can I share something really quickly? This week, we were postponed for a week on Megan's bat mitzvah. So on Monday, we went through just a little bit of storytelling at our house, and we went through the Holocaust and how quickly lives changed and how opportunities were taken away. And we looked at some young people that had prepared from little bitty kids, not a year of preparation for this moment, but they had prepared, and not only did they never get to stand in that place with their family and their friends and their congregation around them and come into their place in a Torah, but they were led away and their lives were taken. And we started to really think in our household about the privileges that we have to do this and the connection that we have with those people. They're not just the Jews of the Bible, they're not just Israelites, but every morning when we get up as a family and we turn east and we say the Shema together, and then we sit down to study the word that day, the Torah portion for that week, or we come together to learn or to worship the God of Israel, we are taking our place in that line, the same place as those that were led away. And I know for us up until this point, because Maylin did this last year, and it is festive and it is beautiful and it does mean something to us, but it meant a new thing to us this year. And even right now in our country, there's places that people can't come together to worship right now. It's not an option for them to do that. And we don't know how much that will change. So, I mean, just to be able to have this Torah scroll in our midst, to be able to, I mean, what place of honor should we give this Shabbat? What place of honor should we give the opportunity to come together in a holy convocation, an assembly of people right now, and be able to share this together? So, like last year, we really encourage everybody that had young people to prepare and let them go through this experience, but even more so, to prepare them to come into the ranks, to come alongside of our of the children of Israel. That's who we are. That's who we are now. We're grafted into that, and we're a part of that. And just to see, kind of see it more as a building or a ceremony, and just the tie that takes us all the way back to these actual verses that we're learning. We are those people, and we're a part of those people. And it may not be long in our lifetime that we're judged for the shawl that's around your shoulders, or the hat that's on your head, or the fact that we come in and we use this scroll. So just don't take for granted any time or any moment that we have together as an assembly or a gathering together.
Well, as the elements for Kiddush are going out, I'm going to share some quick announcements. And good job, and congratulations, Megan. And we invite everyone to stick around and share a meal together. We're going to flip this room around to where there's tables in here. So, as we do Kiddush, what we're saying is we're elevating the meal, we're sanctifying the day and sanctifying the meal and making it about community, making it about covenant, and saying that when we're breaking bread together, we're doing it in memory of Yeshua. This is kind of where the Catholic Church stole it from, the idea of communion. But we're saying we're in community with each other and in good standing with our Master and Savior. And I do want to say, if we should always be examining our relationships with one another and asking ourselves if there is something left unsaid, left undone, if there's conflict left unresolved. We should always, before coming into this place, Yeshua says in Matthew 5, if you're offering your gift at the temple altar, and you remember there that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there by the altar. Go and make peace with him. Then come back and offer your gift. So I want to encourage everyone, as we enter more and more difficult times and uncharted waters and confusing times, hold God's word ever so tightly. Teach your children to do the same. And make conflict resolution a priority of yours, according to Matthew chapter 18. Because the world right now is looking for solid communities of faith and looking for ways to undermine them. And we've got to stand firm on the word of truth and on the testimony of Yeshua. Because we know in the book of Revelation that the beast goes to make war with those who do what? Keep the commandments and the testimony of Yeshua. Wow, we have a target on our back. So get ready. We were reading last night in Corrie ten Boom's. We're talking a lot about Corrie ten Boom today for some reason. Corrie ten Boom's book, A Tramp for the Lord, her sequel to Hiding Place. And in it, she's standing for 3 hours in freezing cold temperatures waiting for the Nazis to call her name. And she thinks that she's going to go to a death sentence. And another woman comes up behind her, and her name is called, another inmate of Ravensbrück is called up. Her name is Tiny. And Tiny is standing there in the freezing cold, and it says the wind is whipping through their prison-issued dresses, their tattered clothes that they're wearing. And Corrie knows that she's doomed to die. She knows that she's just about to receive the death sentence as she's standing there, because these people are being pulled out from the ranks for some reason. They don't know why. And she has the audacity to pray, Father, use me one more time in my last moments of life. And this girl comes up next to her. And for 3 hours, they're standing there talking, and she's sharing the gospel with this girl who had never heard the gospel, a young Jewish girl there in the camp with her, and leads her to Yeshua right there. That girl gets the death sentence, and Corrie walks free. And Corrie walks out of Ravensbrück through the gates, and she realizes, she gets the news that her new friend just died and received the death sentence. She realizes and she confesses, she says, Lord, if I suffered all of that for nothing else other than to lead her into your kingdom, it was all worth it. Think about that. So, there are some big shoes to fill. July 21st, this Tuesday, at the Lugos home, we have Rosh Chodesh Av. Av is a heavy month for us because it is a month where the first temple was destroyed, the second temple was destroyed by the Romans, and it's the month of the beginning of the Spanish Inquisition, when all the Jews were expelled out of Spain in the 1400s. It's a heavy month for us. And right now we're in a time period called the 3 weeks, the dire straits, where there is going to be spiritual warfare, where it's kind of there's a heightened spiritual warfare right now going on in your lives, going on in your families right now, in our nation. And that's no coincidence. The world may be completely ignorant of it, but that's going on right now in the heavenly realm, because this is a time where God's bringing us through a refinement right now. And so it's important that we go like this and just pray. All right, just pray. And that's how we wage war. So anyways, besides that though, we're going to celebrate the coming of the month of Av, because we have to get through it in order to enjoy the fall holy days that are coming. And then July 25th, next Shabbat, Rabbi Eric will be here. Rabbi Eric is the rabbi of Brit Am Messianic Synagogue in Pensacola. He's going to be here and he's going to teach and then do a Q&A after the Oneg. And then July 25th, homeschool parent meeting, co-op parent meeting. If you're a homeschool parent in here, come at 2 p.m. and we're going to have a meeting to figure out. We're trying to do more homeschool related functions for everybody in here. So we're going to kind of do, like, get some ideas that you might have and some ways that you might want to pitch in towards that. And then July 28th, that's a Tuesday night. Denise, who's not here today, but Denise is really excited about teaching a class. She's going to do several week class on the history of anti-Semitism and how to recognize it, how to combat it. So come for that at 6 p.m. And then July 29th, this is a fast day for us, a traditional fast day. It's the ninth of Av. Like I said, this is the exact day that the first temple was destroyed by the Babylonians, and then the second temple was destroyed by the Romans in 70 AD. So both on that day, and lots of other events happened on the ninth of Av, Tisha B'Av. So we fast on that day, looking forward to the coming kingdom, because you guys know that Zechariah and Isaiah both talk about the fast of the month of Av are going to turn into the feast days and celebrations. So we look forward to that day. All right, we have Kiddush. Does anyone not have the juice, fruit of the vine? We're going to say the blessing over the fruit of the vine.
Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam, borei pri hagafen, amen.
Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who creates the fruit of the vine. We thank you, our Father, for the holy vine of your servant David that you made known to us through your servant Yeshua. Yours is the glory forever. And next, the bread, lechem. Yeshua says that he is the bread of life, born in the town of Beit Lechem, bread town, even. And this bread was put in the earth at some point, brought back out, came alive, right? And then it was harvested, and now it's for nutrition for our bodies. So too was the bread of life put in the ground, resurrected, and serves as our spiritual nourishment. Let's say the blessing over the bread together.
Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam, hamotzi lechem min haaretz. Amen.
Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth. We thank you, our Father, for the life and the knowledge that you made known to us through your servant Yeshua. Yours is the glory for us. Yours is the glory forever. Just as this piece of bread was scattered over the mountains and gathered together again, so may your people be gathered from the ends of the earth into your kingdom. For yours is the glory and the power through Yeshua the Messiah forever. So invite everybody to stick around and celebrate with us for some food. We're going to do the Aaronic benediction. This is from Numbers chapter 6. Moses tells Aaron, when you bless the people, this is how you will bless them. And Alexi's going to lead us in that song.
Well, not only Alexi, but I thought Gabe almost forgot, because he has to sing with me a harmony today. Hey, everyone, please raise up and get together as your family and just hug someone next to you, or we can hold hands and just bless each other as we sing this. He refuses to sing harmony with me in the microphone. That's okay. Maybe next time. He needs to practice more. Shalom, b'shem Yeshua HaMashiach, in the name of Yeshua the Messiah, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen.
Amen.